So it is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here for the most auspicious celebration of Sri Radhastami at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari. This evening I will read a verse from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that does have relation to Srimati Radharani. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 23. Please repeat. Jivan Shava Bhagavata Angri Renum Na Jatu Martya Abhilapeta Ya Tu Shri Vishnupadya Manuja Tulasya Swasan Shava Ya Tu Naveda Gandam. Now I'll just recite the verse. Jivan Chavo Bhagavatam Grirenum Najatu Martyo Bilabheta Yastu Shri Vishnupadya Manujastu Lasya Swasan Chavoyastu Naveda Gandam Jivan Chavo Bhagavatam Grirenum Najatu Martyo Bilabheta Yastu Shri Vishnupadya Manujastu Lasya Swashan Chavoyas Tunaveda Gandam. Please repeat. Jivan, while living, Shava, a dead body. Bhagavat Angri Renum, the dust of the feet of a pure devotee. Na, never. Jatu,
at any time.
Martya,
mortal.
Abhilabheta, particularly received. Ya, a person. Tu, but. Shri, with opulence. Vishnupadya, of the lotus feet of Vishnu. Manuja, a descendant of Manu. A man. Tulasya, leaves of the tulsi tree. Swasan, while breathing.
Shava,
still a dead body.
Ya,
who?
To,
but. Naveda,
never
experienced.
Gandham,
the aroma. Translation. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples, create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, quote, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. End quote. That is the way of pure disciplic succession, or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Jad Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a Paramahansa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahu ganaita tapasa nayati na chejaya nirvapanat grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryai vina mahat padarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahamsa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudasa, are the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee, therefore, never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Translation again. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body although breathing. So this verse and purport are so deep, practically the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is contained in the purport. And of course one could discuss it for many hours and days. Still, we will try to say something within the time available to us. The first point, very basic point, is that the living entity is not the body. The living entity is the soul within the body. The living entity in the material body has material desires for sense gratification, or more subtle desires manifested in mental speculation. And some unfortunate living entities end up, after leaving the body, as ghosts, or in a ghostly body. How does it happen? The living entity, this is one common way. A living entity is full of material desires, and he is frustrated in the pursuit of material happiness, which everyone is. But sometimes the conditioned soul can become so frustrated and so disappointed that he commits suicide. And what is the result? The result is he gets a ghost body. He gets a subtle body, because Krishna, the super soul, fulfills all desires. So the person who commits suicide, he wanted to be free from a gross body, so Krishna fulfills his desires and gives him a ghost body, which is a subtle body. But the frustration and disappointment that gave rise to the impulse to commit suicide was strong material desires. So he still has the material desires. But he doesn't have a gross body with which to fulfill them. So he's even more frustrated. And as a result, the ghost will try to inhabit or possess someone else's gross body and try to fulfill his desires through the other person's gross body. And therefore ghosts are disturbing elements. They create fearful situations. Another way in which a person can get the body of a ghost is if he is very attached, for example, to his home. And at the time of death, he thinks of his home. Now, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, whatever you think of at the time of death will determine your next body. So if you think of your palace at the time of death, well, you can't get the body of a palace because that's not one of the species of life. But you can take birth as a ghost in a palace. And therefore, there are many big mansions, castles, that are reputed to be occupied by ghosts. Now, what to do about ghosts? Of course, we don't. Yeah. So, the chanting of the holy name is the best remedy for practically any ailment in the world. It's also the remedy for being haunted by ghosts. And sometimes devotees take advantage of this fact. A large estate will be haunted, and people won't want to buy it. But devotees will see, oh, here's a good opportunity. We can get a major property for a small amount. And as far as the ghosts, we'll just do Harinam Sankirtan. And the ghosts will go away. And we will have a nice temple for Krishna. Now, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has composed a very beautiful verse in which he says that one who is haunted you could say one who is haunted by material desires can never experience the sweet taste of devotional service. He actually uses the word pisacha, like ghost. These material desires are like ghosts. A ghost will fill our minds with ideas that are foreign to us. You know, in our normal consciousness, we think a certain way. But when a ghost possesses our mind, we think in a completely different way. So as spirit souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious. We are by constitution eternal servants of Krishna. Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. So to desire anything other than to be the servant of Krishna or the servant of the servant of Krishna is like being haunted by a ghost. We're getting these desires, we're getting these ideas for sense gratification, to take the place of Krishna, such ideas, such desires are really foreign to our true nature. And therefore, it's like being haunted by a ghost. Now, everyone in the material world needs shelter. This is a basic principle. And we're always in a fearful position. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, maybe challenged Srila Prabhupada, that you talk so much about chanting Hare Krishna. What do you personally feel when you chant Hare Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada replied, I feel no fear. Every conditioned soul is filled with fear. If we think about it, we're always afraid. We can't even enumerate all the things we're afraid of all the time. And the Bhagavatam says that fear arises from thinking of things as separate from Krishna. If we see that everything is related to Krishna, and that Krishna is the supreme proprietor, he's the supreme enjoyer, and he's our best friend, then we won't be afraid. We'll feel peaceful. So we need shelter. We need the shelter of Krishna, ultimately. But we cannot get the shelter of Krishna directly. We have no way to approach him directly. And therefore, the scripture recommends, and all the acharyas recommend, that to achieve the shelter of Krishna, one should seek the shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna, who himself has achieved the shelter of another pure devotee, who has achieved the shelter of another pure devotee, all the way back to Krishna. And this is devotional parampara. Mahatmanas tumam partha divim prakritim ashrita. The great souls are under the divine energy. They're under the spiritual energy. They're not under the material energy. But they achieve the shelter of the spiritual energy by taking shelter of a pure devotee who's under the spiritual energy, who in turn has taken shelter of a pure devotee, and so on. Once Srila Prabhupada was invited to speak at the home of the wealthiest family in India at the time, the Birla family. And I had proposed a list of various topics on which Srila Prabhupada could speak, and I presented it to Mrs. Birla. Very nice lady, very pious lady. Gopi Kumari Birla. And looking at the list and considering the people that she would invite to the program, she chose the subject, how to be successful. Now, these are people who we would imagine, I was struck by it, actually. These are people whom we would imagine are very successful. But implicit in that choice was the idea that they're not satisfied. You know, whatever success they've achieved, they're not satisfied. They want to learn, like, the secret, how to be more successful. So that was the topic. And I knew that Prabhupada could speak on any topic, and that was the one she chose. So Srila Prabhupada came to the program, and he gave a very interesting definition of success. It's a definition that one would not ordinarily imagine. He said that everyone in the material world is under the control of the material energy, which is personified as Durga Devi. And Durga Devi rides on her lion carrier, and she has many arms with many weapons. That's the material energy. And as opposed to the material energy is the spiritual energy personified as Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada said, success in life means to transfer oneself from the control of Durga, Devi, the material energy, to the shelter of Srimati Radharani, the spiritual energy. And she said that Durga holds a trident, Trishul, and the trident represents the threefold miseries of material existence. And she's always piercing the conditioned souls with those miseries. And that's whose shelter we're under. She's a very... Of course, she is herself performing a service to Lord Krishna, but her service takes the form of punishing us who are under her control. So just like being in a prison, you know, success for a prisoner is to be released from the prison. Success for a prisoner is not to move to a better facility in the prison house, or to get... Success is to be released. So, I mean, Srila Prabhupada was so intelligent and so subtle. Basically, he was telling them that, you know, success doesn't mean to move into a better grade of prison cell, you know. Success means to get out of prison. And that is achieved by transferring oneself to the protection of Srimati Radharani, the spiritual energy. But we cannot do that directly. So we do it by taking shelter of someone who's taken shelter of someone who's taken shelter of someone who's taken shelter of Srimati Radharani. And that is parampara. We take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, or we take shelter of those who are working under Srila Prabhupada's direction. He took shelter of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and served him. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took shelter of his spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and served him. And like that, all the way back to Krishna. So it is a simple process. It is a simple process. But it requires humility. And that can be a problem. Big problem. Big, big problem. We don't want to submit. We don't want to submit. When Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, well, his son Prahlad, what is the best thing you learned in school? You know, he thought his son, who was 5 years old, would say something cute. Like sometimes we'll ask a little child, what is your favorite subject? So we being, you know, relatively good people, relatively pious people, we would be shocked and abhorred if that five-year-old child said, the best thing I've learned is how to cheat people and, you know, get ahead by pushing them into the dust. We would be shocked. Where did you learn that? So, Hiranyakasipu was the type, he thought that, you know, learning how to defeat others was a good thing. So when Prahlad said, the best thing I learned was, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, he was shocked, like, my God. Where did you learn that? Where did you learn that? Who has spoiled your consciousness? So that was a big question. So Hiranyakasipu is a big demon. He accused the boy's teachers that you have taught him this nonsense, bhakti, service to Vishnu. You've spoiled his intelligence. He said, no, we haven't. We haven't. Then you've allowed Vaishnavas to enter into the school. No, we haven't. They've come in disguise and fooled you and entered into the school. No, no. Well, then how did he become Krishna conscious? They said, well, we don't know. He seems to be naturally Krishna conscious. You should ask him. So Hiranyakasipu thought, all right, I'll ask him directly. And Prahlad replied with a verse very similar to the one Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport. Naishamati stavad uru kramangrim sprishat yanartha pagamo yadartha mahiya shan pada rajo bishekam niskinchananam navranita yavad. Before that, he said, one cannot become Krishna conscious by one's own efforts. And one cannot become Krishna conscious by the efforts of others. And one cannot become Krishna conscious by the combined efforts of oneself and others. So how can one become Krishna conscious? It seems that all the logical possibilities have been eliminated. And then he spoke this verse that one cannot become Krishna conscious unless one has been favored by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with the material world. And by taking shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, or by serving the instructions of a pure devotee, one becomes free from all anarthas, all unwanted conditions, miseries. These miseries, birth, death, disease, and old age, these are unwanted. One becomes free from unwanted desires. One becomes free from everything that is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada explained that indirectly, what Prahlad was saying to his father was, you don't have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious. Because you can only become Krishna conscious if you bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee. But you're too proud. You'll never bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee. So, my dear father, you don't have to worry about Krishna becoming Krishna conscious. It's not going to happen. Now, this is a very nice story, and it's nice to identify with Prahlad and to see other people as Hiranyakasipus. But if we, I mean, I shouldn't speak for all of us, but many of us, if we look inside ourselves, we will see that we're also not that humble. I mean, we also have a little rebellious spirit. We don't want to submit. We don't want to surrender. And we might say, well, as people say, you know, I'll surrender to God. I'll serve God. I won't surrender to any human being. But that's not the process. And I could say more on that topic. But I will say something very encouraging. Very encouraging, and that is that in this age of Kali, Krishna came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. As we read in the purport, Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Krishna. That's so, and in the Nectar Devotion also, Srila Prabhupada says the same thing, that Srimati Radharani represents the compassionate nature of Krishna. That Krishna, like the father, he might be a little strict. And that's also necessary. That's also beneficial. But the mother is, you know, maybe more compassionate, more understanding, more encouraging. And therefore, devotees approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani, among other qualifications, she's Mahabhagavata. She sees that everyone is a better servant of Krishna than she is. So if someone approaches her with the desire to render service, she will very easily recommend the person to Krishna. And when Srimati Radharani recommends someone to Krishna, Krishna is bound to accept that person. Because ultimately, transcendentally, Krishna comes under the control of Srimati Radharani. And therefore, in Radharani's hometown of Varshana, they have a saying that whatever Radha does, Krishna likes. And whatever Radha likes, Krishna does. So, if Radharani wants Krishna to accept us, then Krishna will accept us. Krishna will accept us. But, yes, today's a special day. On Radhastami, we can approach Radharani directly, but even then, it's really through her servants. Even when we go to the spiritual world, when that fortunate occasion takes place, we will serve Krishna under the servants of Krishna, not directly. That's an eternal principle. There are different rasas. We can have different relationships with Krishna. But in whatever relationship we have, we will be under the eternal guidance of some eternal associate of Krishna, eternal associates of Krishna. So that principle, gopi bhartu padakamalayor dasa dasa anudasa, being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis, that applies both in the conditioned state of sadhana bhakti and in the liberated state of prema bhakti. It's an eternal principle. So we should welcome the opportunity to serve the servant of the servants. We shouldn't think, oh, you know, all right, now in the stage of bondage, well, I guess I have to do it. It's the only way to get out. Like, okay, I'm in the prison. I gotta do what the warden says. But once I'm out, that's it, you know. and I'm free, you know. No. This is an eternal principle. And we should welcome it. And we should relish it. That verse of Rupa Goswami's about being ghostly haunted, that as long as one has the desire, as Srila Prabhupada paraphrases it, as long as one has the desire to become more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, one can never relish the really sweet taste of Krishna consciousness. And in one class, Srila Prabhupada said the same thing in a positive way, that the more you become the servant of 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 Krishna, the sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter Krishna consciousness becomes. So this is our glory, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Devotees have no material possessions. I mean, niskinchananam navranita yava. We want to take shelter of someone who's niskinchana, who has no material possession. Which, yes, there are sadhus, they hardly have any material possessions, sadhus in India. Or it means one is freed from the sense of false proprietorship. Like we're in the temple. Now if I think this is my temple, then that's false proprietorship. It's a beautiful facility, but it's not mine. If I think this is Krishna's temple, and I'm just the humble servant of the servant of the servant, that's also niskinchana. So, what the only thing the devotee owns, so to speak, is service. Service to the lotus feet. And the more lotus feet he has to serve, you know, serving the lotus feet of the servant of the servant of the servant, like, the richer he is in bhakti. And that's the life of the living entity, that this whole series of verses makes the same point, that if you're not engaged in devotional service, you're dead. So what does that mean? It means that devotional service is real life. Anything other than devotional service is just a walking dead man, you know, a breathing dead man. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this life. He's given us this opportunity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he adopted the mood of Radharani, that kind-hearted, tender-hearted, merciful, compassionate mood. And in that mood of love and compassion and care, he has given us the recommended process for the present age, which is the chanting of the holy names. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, Stevana, Steva, Gatiranita. By chanting the holy names, all the dirty things in the heart become cleansed. Cheto Darpano Marjanam. So even if we have this little rebellious spirit, you know, why should I surrender? You know, by chanting, which is very easy and enjoyable, by chanting all these dirty things, all these misconceptions, all these false identifications, they're cleansed. And then naturally, we come to our position as eternal servants of the servants of Krishna. So it's very easy. It's very easy. We just have to do it. And this is ultimately Srimati Radharani's mercy. It's all Srimati Radharani's mercy. Even that Srila Prabhupada came to America and gave us Krishna consciousness. It's Srimati Radharani's mercy. In one of his early poems, before he even came to America, arrived in America, he said, "My dear brothers," if something like, anyway, pleasing Srimati Radharani. That's the idea, pleasing Srimati Radharani. And how? By serving the order of the spiritual master, fulfilling the mission of the spiritual master. So we have everything. We have every opportunity. We have the deities, beautiful deities of Shishiradha Giridhari. We have Srila Prabhupada. We have his instructions. We have his books. We have the holy name. We have the association of devotees. We have everything. We just have to take advantage. That's why we are here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we have 5 minutes left. Does anyone have any question or comment? Okay, we'll start with you.
How do you get the Guru's power? Or how do you become a servant of a servant of a servant of a servant?
Yeah.
Maharaj, could you repeat the question?
Yes. What was the first part? How do you get the... Oh, yeah. Well, first, she's a very intelligent young lady here. She said, how do you get the fragrance of the tulsi leaves from the Lord's lotus feet? Or, in other words, how do you become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant? Well, in principle... you could say the steady devotees in ISKCON. You know what ISKCON is?
Not really.
Well, ISKCON is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's an organization that Srila Prabhupada founded. So the You could say the more senior devotees who are steady in their service, they're serving Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is serving the instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is serving the instructions of his spiritual master. So by serving the sort of solid devotees of Srila Prabhupada, you're automatically serving the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, because it's all going back through the line to Krishna. Exactly. Okay. Thank you. 2 minutes.
How can one overcome the fear of losing one's identity and uniqueness by surrendering oneself to pure devotee?
Oh, this is a very deep question. He says, how can one overcome the fear of losing one's unique individual identity if one surrenders to a pure devotee of Krishna? Well, every living entity has a unique identity. And the process of Krishna consciousness is to discover what our eternal, unique, specific identity is. So you don't lose your identity But you discover your actual unique identity. Of course, one God brother had a very nice insight. Like, why, you know, just imagine Krishna's situation. He's in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. You know, surrounded by, you know, wish-fulfilling desire trees and being served by beautiful, pure, loving devotees. Unlimited numbers of beautiful, pure, loving devotees. And then somewhere off, there's this cloud. And there's this bunch of morose, angry, rebellious souls. I'm not going to serve him. Why should Krishna bother? Why should Krishna even care? You know, he's enjoying an eternal celestial party. Why should he bother about us? One answer, there are other answers, but one answer is that each one of us is a unique living entity. No two of us are exactly the same. Every one of us is unique. And that means that our mood of service to Krishna when we're liberated will be unique. It means the service that we offer to Krishna will be unique. And that means that as long as we remain in the material world and don't serve Krishna, Krishna is deprived of that particular unique flavor of loving service that we are meant to offer him. So each one of us has a very specific, unique contribution to make to Krishna's pleasure that no one else can make in the exact same way. So we are completely individual, personal. You know, but as far as like in the stage of sadhana bhakti, we might have our own personal preferences, and that's all right. Whatever our preference is, we give the highest preference to what Krishna wants. You know, it's like when we first went to India, we were like so new. We didn't know how to conduct ourselves in this very pious, aristocratic Vedic culture. And sometimes we'd be invited to very, very cultured people's homes with Srila Prabhupada to take prasad. We didn't know what to do. So we'd just watch him. So if he broke off a piece of puri, then, 11 disciples sitting at the same, they'd all break off a piece of puri. And they'd be watching him. Okay, if he dipped it in the chutney, we'd all dip our piece of puri in the chutney and we'd follow exactly what he did because we didn't know what to do. But after a while, we sort of learned that we don't have to, we follow in the footsteps, but we don't imitate, So you might be thinking, if I surrender to a pure devotee, I have a guru, then if he likes bitter melon and I like gulab jamuns, then I'm going to have to eat bitter melon instead of gulab jamuns. But it's not really like that. I mean, if you're cooking for him and he wants bitter melon, then you cook bitter melon, because that's for his pleasure. But and as you become purified, you get take more pleasure in his pleasure than in your own pleasure. But you're still an individual. You're still unique. But that's your pleasure. It's very common with parents. What the children want, it means more to the parents to do what the children want than for the parents to do what they want to want what they want to do. Yeah. That's why it's very important to have nice programs for the children. Because if the children want to come to the temple, even if the parents are feeling a little lazy or something, but come on, mommy, come on, daddy, I want to go to the temple, I want to see the deities, I want to go to the Archi, I want to meet the other children, I want to have prasad. You're agreeing with me, right?
Yeah.
And the parents will come. It's not that they don't have their individuality, but out of love, they get more happiness when they see the children happy than when they do things for their own pleasure that would leave the children feeling neglected. So you remain individual, but you give preference to what Krishna likes. And as you become purified, you actually get more pleasure in doing what Krishna likes for his pleasure than you would get out of doing what ordinarily you would like for your own sake. So don't hesitate. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.